All right, everyone, we might make a start. I think there might be some other people coming, but... All right, everyone. Yep, cool. I know we're all excited. It's always good to do a workshop on reading the Bible. Yeah! But before we start, just like we start when we read the Bible, let me pray and then we'll get into it. Let's pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that you have spoken to us so clearly through your word. We thank you that your word declares who you are. We thank you that your word declares salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And we thank you that your word teaches us, rebukes us, corrects us, and trains us in righteousness, that we would be men and women, complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, Father, we pray that as we look at the subject of reading your word, may your word impact our hearts. And, Father, we pray that we would be able to apply what we look at today for the rest of our lives. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the subject of reading the Bible is quite a big one. When I sat down to get this workshop ready, I was thinking of every possible question that you guys could have in regards to reading the Bible. Questions that I used to have, like, why is it so hard? What do I do when I get stuck? What do I do with the Old Testament? Do I have to use reading through the Bible in the year plan? And if I get stuck in the middle, does that mean I'm a bad Christian because I didn't finish reading the Bible through the year? Or I got recommended this Bible reading plan and I never kept up with it, all those sorts of things. And hopefully, as we look at what God's Word says about the Bible, some of those questions will be answered. But I'm going to give you an opportunity at the end of this workshop, if we haven't looked at anything, to ask some questions. And you know, come and see me, come and see your study leader. If you've got more questions about how to read the Bible, we'd be more than happy to help you. So, first, we're going to start with briefly what we're going to cover. So, what is the Bible? Why should we read the Bible? How do we read the Bible? Troubleshooting and Q&A. All right. So, what is the Bible? This is pretty obvious. Bible is the Word of God. The Bible is the Word of God. We read in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is breathed out by God. Now, this is a very popular memory verse. You may have memorized it in Sunday school. But I want you to just pause and think about that for a second. All Scripture is breathed out by God. That Bible that you're holding there, or perhaps you've got it on your phone, that is God speaking. That is the true and living God, the creator of this universe, the one who is awesome, holy, who can't be known any other way. He has chosen to reveal himself through his word. And that's what you've got. All Scripture is breathed out by God. And then we've got another verse that's similar. In Hebrews chapter 4, we read that, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. So God's word penetrates where no other form of human wisdom can. It goes right into dividing where we can't even think about dividing. This is God's word. But it doesn't stop there. See, verse 13 of chapter 4 says, and no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Now, did you notice here that we've gone from talking about word of God and then to no creature is hidden from his sight? Now, isn't that interesting? See, the word of God is tied to God himself. See, sometimes people try and separate, you know, you've got God over here and then you've got God speaking. No, they're both together. Okay, so we've got to remember that. And put it this way. When we stand before God on Judgment Day, God is going to say, how have you treated my word? If you've disobeyed my word, you've disobeyed me. If you've obeyed my word, you've obeyed me. Okay? That's how it works. They're both linked together. Okay? So this is the Bible. It's the word of God. So this is just a very brief diagram to show what the implications of that is. So that means that the Bible is authoritative. So that means that it has the final say on everything. The final say on everything. Because God is the creator, because he's the king, because he's the judge, God's word, it has authority. It's got the final say. But God's word is also without error. Because God's without error. There's no lying in God. There's no untruth in God. So the Bible can be trusted completely. And finally, the Bible is sufficient. It contains everything that we need. Remember, this is what God, the Creator, the one who's made each and every one of us, this is what he's given to us. This is sufficient. But God's word is also written by men. So we read in 2 Peter chapter 1, knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Now, there's a lot in that verse. I'm not going to go into detail, but basically what Peter's trying to get across there is that God's word was communicated to men. What we have in the Bible is 66 books, and they're written by men. So all of their personality, all of their emotions, all of their characteristics, God chose to use as like the vehicle to proclaim his truth. Okay? So you've got people like kings, scholars, ex-terrorists, doctors, shepherds. These are all authors in the Bible. And they all have different perspectives, obviously, but the same truth. It's all complete, and nothing disagrees with itself. Different situations, emotions. So that's a very brief outline of what the Word of God is. And I know that a lot of you probably recognise that, but it's helpful to go over those things. So why should we then read the Bible? Why should we read the Bible? We should read the Bible because in the Bible we learn more about God. Can you imagine, in the context of looking at relationships, this camp, can you imagine having a relationship with someone where you didn't hear or listen to a single word that they said? That's no relationship, is it? And so reading the Bible is part of having a relationship with God. It makes sense, doesn't it? And so here are just a few passages to think about in this regard. This is a wonderful one. Deuteronomy 32 verse 4. The rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are justice. A God of faithfulness, without iniquity, just and upright is he. Or when God reveals himself to Moses, the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation. Now that's just two verses, and look how much we can get to know about God. But we not only learn about God, we learn more about ourselves. God's word gives us a real picture of who we are. We saw that this morning, didn't we, as we were going through Genesis 3. We're getting a real picture of who we are. See, the Bible, it talks about if we don't know Jesus, we're described as being dead in trespasses and sins, idolatrous God-haters, their hearts are deceitful and sick. Now, they're just three. There's lots of other things about who we are. And we've also got in Christ, if we know Jesus, the Bible describes us as having been set free from slavery to sin. That's amazing good news. And adopted as God's children. Now, they're just a few things of who we are that the Bible reveals to us. And we also should read the Bible because we learn how to help others. We know that we have friends and family who don't know God, who don't know salvation in Jesus Christ. It's God's word that we need to proclaim to them. Okay? And again, I found it hard to kind of reduce all of this down because there's so much in the Bible about helping other people, how to love people, how to deal with things like, these are just a few on here, how to deal with things like addiction and worry, anger, forgiveness, friendship. Think about all the things that are tied up in relationships that we're looking at camp. And the Bible tells us how to deal with all of that. That's the Bible. We learn how to help others. That's why we should be reading it. So that all leads us to the burning question, doesn't it? Because I'm sure that a lot of you are here not to hear why should we read the Bible or what the Bible is, but how do I read the Bible? How do I read the Bible? So let's start back where he sort of first started, in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Now, 2 Timothy is a letter that Paul wrote to Timothy. It's kind of obvious, isn't it? And notice that as we go through, that Paul talks to Timothy as someone who has been in the Bible for a long period of time, since he was a little boy. His mum and his grandmum helped raise him in reading the Bible. So basically what Paul does in this passage is he takes Timothy back to his roots. He basically tells Timothy again, remember how to read the Bible. And so this is the passage that I believe will help all of us to read the Bible. And this was really exciting for me when I first found this out, because I was one of those people that sort of thought, well, maybe the Bible doesn't say anything about how to read the Bible, but it really does. So let's go through this. So, but as for you, this is Paul talking to Timothy, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So let's just pull this apart. So firstly, how to read the Bible. We need to recognise, first of all, that the Bible actually gives us its big theme. Its big theme. And the Bible's big theme is God. Now that might come as a bit of a shock, or maybe that seems very obvious as well. But right at the start of the Bible, what do we get? In the beginning, God. God's word is unashamedly about God. That's what we're reading about in the Bible. And so the very first question to ask when you open at any passage in the Bible is, what does this passage teach me about God? What does this passage saying? What is this passage saying about God? And see, again, this is in 2 Timothy 3. The sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. You see there, that's those sacred writings. That's the Old Testament. That's the Old Testament. And that means that salvation through faith in Christ Jesus is in the Old Testament. Isn't that amazing? Here we have it. This is the big theme. This is the big idea, for you guys who know what that means, of the Bible. Jesus himself taught his disciples that the Old Testament was all about him as well. It's not something that we make up. So this is Jesus, when he rises from the dead, he says to his disciples, These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. You see what Jesus is saying there? Everything. You've got law. You've got prophets, Psalms. There's not anything else left in the Old Testament that's not covered by those things. All of those are about Jesus. Okay? Now, the Bible also tells us how to read the Bible. Now, we move on to the second part, 2 Timothy. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Now, to kind of get a handle of all this, I thought of building a house. Now, I don't know how many of you are living in a house that maybe your parents bought and thought, this would be a really good place to renovate. And so once you start renovating an old house, there's countless things that need to be done. And this renovated house, it doesn't ever seem to be finished. If you live in it, you're constantly renovating. And in a sense, reading God's word is like that. You're building your life on the solid foundation of Jesus Christ and what he's done on the cross. And the rest of life is like renovation. It's building. Okay? Now, what we're going to look at in teaching, reproof, correction, and training, they're like the four materials of the house. You imagine the Holy Spirit, he's the builder. He shows us how to use the plans. You've got the teaching, which is like your solid, good doctrine material. That's how we build, that's what we build our lives on. Remember, the foundation never changes. It's Jesus Christ. And then you've got correction. Reproof. Reproof shows us where we've put bad stuff into the house. It's like a light showing you've got asbestos in the ceiling. That ain't good. Okay? And then correction is how to actually remove the asbestos from the ceiling. Because if you've ever had to do that before, it's a long, drawn-out process. There's steps involved because, yes, you want it removed, but it's got to be removed in a specific way. And that's the correction ability of God's word. It's how to remove something in the right way without falling into something like legalism or that sort of thing. And then finally, training is how to put those teaching building blocks properly into your life. And so in that one verse, we're told how to actually use and read the Bible. So I'll go through that in a bit more detail. So you've got teaching, the building materials the building materials for life. So basically, after we've asked the question, what's this passage teaching about God? What's this passage teaching about salvation in Christ Jesus? We can ask, what is this passage teaching? What is it teaching? Is it teaching something about God? Something about salvation? People? The world? We can ask all of those questions of the Bible. And sometimes it might be helpful to ask what a passage is not teaching. Now, I'll give you an example here. In Luke 16:13, we read, "No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." Now, that passage is not teaching you can serve God and you can serve money. Now, can you see immediately there, I've got a bit of an idea about what this passage is about, don't I? It's about that right there. You cannot serve God and money. So that might be helpful for you to keep in the back of your mind. But remember, teaching. What's this passage all about? And then we've got reprove. Now, that's a bit of a weird word, but reprove just basically means to rebuke. And again, what sin is being exposed in this passage? What can I see that I need to repent of, to turn away from here? What's the Bible telling me about sin? And then correction. See, the Bible not only shows us our sin, it also shows us how to deal with it. Remember the asbestos in the ceiling? It actually tells us how to get rid of it, how to remove it. So how do I correct this particular area of my life? You see, sin, it's complex. It affects every part of our lives, and so it's going to be complex sometimes to think about removing it. And see, I gave Romans 6 here as a good example. I've always loved this passage. So here we learn, so that's a good teaching word. Here we are taught that we're no longer slaves to sin, but we are slaves to righteousness. And so this is correcting, if you like, an attitude that might say, I can't beat sin, it's just too hard. You see that the correction there. This is how you think. This is how you'd remove the asbestos from the ceiling. And finally, training. The Bible trains us how to live. Things like praying, reading God's word, making good friends, and how to share the gospel. Maybe even conduct church service if you're interested in doing that. What I'm trying to show you here is that you can come to any passage in the Bible and ask, is this passage teaching? Is it reproving or rebuking? Is it correcting or is it training? Because if I take that verse seriously, that God's word does that, then it's got to at least do one of those things. So I can look in 1 Chronicles chapter 9 and there's a list of names. There's a reason why it's there. And it might only be to teach me that God is sovereign. But it's still teaching. I can still read that passage and thank God for his sovereignty. But yeah, again, what I'm trying to say to you is that you can come to a passage and ask, does this passage teach, rebuke, correct, or train? It will be doing one, two, three, or four of those things. The Bible also tells us the aim of reading the Bible. It's not just for head knowledge. We're actually to put it into practice. You see what 2 Timothy says there? That the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. You notice how it doesn't say that you may be the best in Sunday school, the best in youth group Bible study. The aim is to put it into practice. Equipped. Okay. Equipped for every good work. So if we were to put all those things that we're talking about, you're equipped to know more about God, to know more about salvation in Christ Jesus. You're equipped through teaching, through reproof, through correcting, and through training. Okay. So here are some ideas of how you, I guess, think through that. So, after we've perhaps established what this passage is teaching or correcting, or sorry, teaching, rebuking, correcting, or training, we ask then, we use that and say, what good work am I equipped through that? How am I applying that? So if I'm taught something, how does that shape what I believe? If I'm reproved of sin, will I confess it and turn away from it? If I'm corrected of something, how will I go about removing that something from my life? And if I'm trained how to do something, when will I begin putting it into practice? You see, all of those things, it's just really simple. If I'm trained how to do something, what am I trained to do? And when am I going to put it into practice? And this naturally then leads into how I pray about what I've just looked at. So here's just here's the basic rundown, okay? This is how 2 Timothy helps us read the Bible. It's just through four questions. What does the passage say about God? What does the passage say about salvation in Jesus? Does this passage teach, reproof, correct, or train in righteousness? And how does this passage equip me? How do I apply this passage to my life? Okay? So what I'm going to get you guys to do now is I'm going to get you to try and use these four questions. I'm going to give you an Old Testament passage to start off with, and you can work with it in groups and see how you go. And then afterwards, I'm going to give you a New Testament passage, and you can work through that individually. And so I'm going to give you 10 minutes, all right? So there's about, maybe try groups of four. So if you can get into a group of four, so we'll just pick a person next to you. And what I want you to do is to take 1 Samuel chapter 1. So you're looking at it cold, okay? 1 Samuel chapter 1, if you've got your Bible there, open up to 1 Samuel chapter 1 and just start asking those questions after you've read the passage and see what you come up with. All right, might call it there. I know that some of you probably haven't finished. That's okay. Hands up who found that quite hard. Yep. It's difficult working with an Old Testament passage, isn't it? Yep. But I guess what I want to encourage you with is that reading the Bible can sometimes be hard work. And it's okay if you, at the end, go, I actually have questions. I'm a little confused. And I'm going to look at this later, but it's okay to then obviously go and ask for help. And sometimes the Bible leaves us with questions that we're supposed to think about and wrestle with. So, for example, 1 Samuel chapter 1, you might wrestle with, what does the passage say about salvation in Jesus? Because either I think that 2 Timothy didn't get it quite right when it came to 1 Samuel 1, or it is there, but I need to do a little bit more study, or I need to think about it a bit more. Okay? But the idea of this is that it should only take you 10 minutes to do. As in, just jot down what jumps to your mind as you go through the passage. Don't try and be a commentator. It's not what they're asking of you or anyone's asking of you. Just look at the texts, look at the Bible, and ask these simple questions. What does the passage say about God? It's got to be about God. What does the passage say about salvation in Jesus? 2 Timothy says that it's got something to do with it. And what am I taught? Or am I being rebuked of something? Or am I being corrected of something? Or am I being trained to do something? And then finally, what would that look like in practice in my own life? Okay? We'll look in troubleshooting a little bit more about how to deal with Old Testament passages. But what I want to get you to do now, just so that we've got these four questions in mind, and I know it's the afternoon and you're like, I've been at a session, I've been at a study group, and now I'm at a workshop on how to read the Bible, I'm all Bibled out, but I'm going to test your patience one more time. And this time, I want you to pick the passage in the New Testament, okay? And if you're having a bit of trouble and you've got your own kind of Bible reading plan or something that you're going through, you can pick something from there. And I'll give you 10 minutes to go through the list of questions yourself. Remember, it's okay, just jot down a sentence for each of those things. No, you have to do it by yourself. All right, might call it there. So that was roundabout, that was roughly 10 minutes. And 10 minutes seems like a long time when you're by yourself, doesn't it? But it's not that much, really, when you think about it. 10 minutes, that's doable, isn't it, in a day? And again, what this is aiming to do is to actually get you to look carefully at God's Word. You'll probably need a notebook where you've got your four questions there, and you can take some notes. But it doesn't take long to do, and you're actually studying the Bible. You're actually really getting into the nitty-gritty of what God is saying. Okay? And, you know, you're hearing God speak, and you then have a way to live that out. And it flows so naturally into your prayer life. Because all of a sudden, if I've been struck by the fact that in this particular passage I'm taught that God loves me, what an amazing thing for me to pray about and thank God for. What an amazing thing to go to school that day knowing that whatever happens today, through Jesus Christ, God loves me. And I got that from spending 10 minutes in the Bible in the morning. You don't have to do it in the morning. That's just me putting a scenario before you. But that's the aim. Just four simple questions. Okay? Now, I'm going to go through some troubleshooting. Now, if you have any questions with how you went, with what you did, either as a group or individually, hold off to the end. I'm just going to spend 10 minutes going through some troubleshooting stuff, some other questions I thought you might have, and then fire up some questions at me and be honest. Say, I don't like it, it doesn't work, or tell me how to use it better, all that sort of thing, okay? So keep those banked in 10 minutes. Fire away. So, troubleshooting. So I've titled these basically, five or six things to remember. Okay, so they all start with remember. So the first thing to remember is what genre you're in. Now that's an interesting word, but if you've listened to any type of music on your iPhone, then you know what the word genre means. Am I listening to rock and roll? Am I listening to R&B? Please don't listen to country and western. And it's the same with the Bible. What type of writing am I reading? Now, obviously, am I in the Old Testament or the New Testament? Makes a difference. Is it narrative? Meaning, is it story? Like 1 Samuel 1. And Genesis 1, 2 Samuel, the Gospels, they're examples of that. Is it wisdom literature? Am I reading Proverbs? That could be interesting in terms of breaking up the passage. There's all these random proverbs. How am I going to deal with that? You could be looking at the law, like Leviticus. You could be looking at Psalms, song or a poem. Could be looking at prophecy. You might even be looking at a love song. You might be looking at a letter or what they call apocalyptic. All those things, they present their own set of challenges when it comes to reading the Bible. And so it's helpful if you can kind of get some idea where you are and what type of writing that you're reading. So, for example, I just thought of this. If you were to just look at Judges chapter 9, verse 8, cold, which says, "The trees once went out to anoint a king over them, and they said to the olive tree, 'Reign over us.'" Is the application of that text that trees have an inherent ability to be able to rule over other things or need to be ruled by other plants? Now, context and what type of literature we're reading here would help me to understand that that's not what it's saying in that passage, okay? This is actually part of an Old Testament parable that a judge says in the book of Judges. All of that is helpful. That helps me to then arrive at, what's this passage actually teaching me? Now, in terms of actually figuring out what genre you're in and how to understand it, you're probably looking at getting a good commentary or possibly like a Bible overview book or something like that. But remember, if we want to take reading the Bible seriously, then I'm going to go and chase that down. And one of the best things to do, even before you go to a commentary, is go and nibble the ear off your pastor at church. Go and say, excuse me, Mr. So-and-so, or Reverend, can you tell me what I should be looking for in the book of Genesis? Or I'm having a bit of trouble understanding how to get into the book of Proverbs. Can you tell me where to go? Isn't that easy to do? That's what you do if you're stuck, all right? Or, you know, or heaven forbid, you could ask your parents. Also, this is kind of tied with genre. Remember the context. Now, I'm not sure what passages you picked individually. If you pick a verse, or you pick a paragraph, if you pick a chapter, if you pick a book, if you pick a series of books, if you pick the whole Bible, you've got to remember the context. Where is this located? And this is where that, some of you might have heard, I use this at North Camp, that we always read the Bible with 20-20 vision. 20 verses backwards, 20 verses forwards. And then, bang, there's your passage. All right? So that's helpful to think through. Why is this here? What's Jesus doing here? What's this person doing here? Remember the context. So, for example, if you were in one of Paul's letters, Paul spends half the letter, say the first three chapters, or in Romans, it's all from 1 to 11, it's all theology. And you're wondering, where's the how then should we live part? Where's the practical? But what Paul's doing is he's building. He's putting the building blocks in place, and then he gets to chapter 12, and he says, this is how then you live. All of that is context. So if you're in Romans chapter 8, for example, and you're like, wow, I've been in theology for, you know, 2 months now. When am I going to get to the, you know, present your body as a living sacrifice? Remember the context of the book. Remember what Paul's trying to do, okay? So that's just an example of how context helps, all right? We don't have to go through that. So here are some ideas of questions, if you're a bit stuck, to ask relating to context. So a good one is always to ask is who is speaking. Now, when you're in the Gospels, say you're in Mark, it's helpful to figure out if Jesus is talking to his group of disciples, or he's talking to the crowd, or he's talking to the Pharisees, or he's talking to any number of people. Because sometimes you might arrive, Mark has some long chapters, you might arrive in, you know, verses 40 to 60, and you've forgotten who's talking and who's being spoken to here. So remember that. Who is speaking? Who is speaking? Who is he speaking to? Where is this located geographically? Where am I? Am I in Israel? Am I in exile? Am I in Babylon? Those things are helpful in understanding what a passage is saying. What's been said before, that's kind of obvious, isn't it? There could be a comparison or a contrast going on. You've arrived in the middle of the argument, and it's helpful for you to have understood what's gone before. And obviously, am I in the Old or the New Testament? That's a good question to ask. And this one might be a bit controversial, or perhaps you haven't thought about it before. Remember to read both big and small chunks of the Bible. Big and small chunks. So, obviously, sometimes there's enough for you in 10 minutes to read just one verse, and there's enough in there to keep you going for maybe the next 2 or 3 weeks. And that's a good thing, and I wouldn't want to discourage that. So if you have that, stay there, focus in on it. You know, this is a spiritual exercise that we're doing. If the Holy Spirit has grabbed you with a particular verse, you don't have to move on. Don't hear Joel in the background going, you know, you must move on. No, no. Stay there. Cling to it. What am I trying to get taught here? But also, now this goes outside of maybe a 10-minute time frame. Don't be scared to read a big chunk. Don't be scared to read a whole letter instead of just parts of one. So, for example, letters like Philippians and Colossians, maybe even Romans, if you've got some time, they're all letters. They would have been read out to a congregation of people in one big sitting. You imagine that? Church on Sunday morning. Right, Romans chapter 1. We go all the way to chapter 16. Okay? People would have been sitting there. Okay? So it's helpful to read big chunks, because if you don't read big chunks, you miss out on the big message of the book. You start thinking that Romans is all about just sin because I've spent, 20 weeks just in 1:18 to 32. And that's what I think the whole book's about. No, no, read the whole book and then go, oh, wow, I can see what Paul's doing here. Isn't that amazing? Okay? So don't be scared to do that. If you've got a Sunday afternoon free after church, or, just some time free, take half an hour, read through a book of the Bible. Why not? Why not? I can tell you it will help you immensely. And remember to pray. Now, I have been touching on this, but reading the Bible, it's a serious activity. Remember, this is God speaking to us, and we want to treat God and we want to treat His Word with respect. So part of respecting what God says is actually asking God to help us to understand what He's said to us, or what He's going to say to us. That's the reason why you'll see Pete up here when he's preaching. He starts by praying. You see that? That's a respect for what we're doing. We're looking at God's Word. We want to get it right. We want to understand what God's saying to us. And so we ask God, help me to understand what you're saying here. Okay. And again, I thought I'd try and put 2 Timothy into a prayer for you. This is a basic think through this passage before you start looking at a passage. So something like, we thank God for giving us His Word so that we may know Him and that we may know salvation in Jesus Christ. See, those are the 2 first questions, yeah? And we pray that God would teach, rebuke, correct, and train us through His Word. And finally, that we pray that we would be complete and equipped for serving God. Simple, isn't it? Imagine doing that. That's like another maybe 30 seconds added onto your 10 minutes, okay? But we're taking it seriously. This is what God says. We want to take what He says seriously. So remember to pray. Before I move on, pray after you've read. Okay? There'll be something that struck you. There'll be something in that training or that rebuking or teaching or correcting, or something just about God Himself or salvation or how I'm equipped, that then naturally leads into responding to God. Thank you, God, for who you are. Forgive me for the ways in which I failed to do this. Thank you for salvation in Jesus, that He lived the perfect life for me, and help me in Him to live this out obediently for your glory. Wow. You can do this all in 10 minutes. 10 minutes. And again, I've touched on this. Remember to ask for help. We all get busy, and we all could be spending more time in God's Word. And to get into a good habit of spending time in God's Word, it might require you to talk to a good Christian mate of yours at church, or maybe somebody else, and say, hey, I really want to get serious about reading the Bible. Can you pray for me? Can you ask me how I went this week in reading the Bible? It doesn't have to be a legalistic thing. It's just let's talk to each other about reading the Bible. Okay? That would be a really, really good thing to do. Talk to each other about how you're going reading the Bible. What have you learnt this week? Maybe that's all it could be. What's something that struck me about Jesus this week? Whoa, Wouldn't that be an amazing conversation to have at morning tea after church? And I touched on that before. You can ask your pastors and your elders for help. That's what they're at church for. If you see them at church and they've got nothing to do, walk up to them and say, "Oh, I'd like to talk to you about my Bible reading." And they would probably fall over. Okay? You can do that. Go and do it. Go and ask for help. Don't be scared. This is not an activity that you're going to get overnight. Remember, this is building. This is renovating for the long haul. It's not going to be finished until we're in heaven. Remember that. And then finally, this is stating the obvious, but remember that reading the Bible can be hard work. It can be hard work. See, most of the time, the reason why we don't read the Bible is not necessarily because we don't know how, or we're stuck on something, or we don't have the time. It's usually because we're just lazy. There's other things to do. I could be somewhere else. And we put our time into other things. Okay? And reading the Bible can be hard work. You've got to sit there. You've got to wrestle. You've got to pray to God and ask that He would reveal Himself to you in His Word. And that can be hard work. Think again back to 1 Samuel 1. Can you imagine sitting there by yourself and you're thinking, how does this talk about salvation in Jesus? And you could be tempted at that point to just throw it away. It's just too hard. I'm never going to get this. Remember that it's going to be hard work. And I love this quote actually from R.C. He says, "We fail in our duty to study God's Word, not so much because it is difficult to understand, not so much because it's dull and boring, but because it is work. Our problem is no lack of intelligence or a lack of passion. Our problem is that we are lazy." And if R.C. is admitting that about himself, then I think that's probably true of me too. And then finally, this is this other guy I'm going to quote now. I found this really helpful actually, because he talks about the drive to keep going, to be in it for the long haul. You're not going to get it straight away. You're not going to get the message of 1 Samuel after one 10-minute session. It might take you a lifetime, but that's okay. J.C. Ryle, the good bishop, he says this: "Do not think that you are getting no good from the Bible merely because you do not see that good day by day." You see what he's saying? He's saying, you know, just not getting as much as what I thought of out of this. You know, I've spent weeks and just, you know. He says, "The greatest effects are by no means those which make the most noise and are most easily observed. The greatest effects are often silent, quiet, and hard to detect at the time that they're being produced. Think of the influence of the moon upon the earth and of the air upon the human lungs. Remember how silently the dew falls and how imperceptibly the grass grows. There may be far more doing than you think in your soul by reading your Bible reading." Okay? That's very helpful, isn't it? Remember, all of those things, silent, we take them for granted, but they're all doing something, and doing something powerful. Remember that with your Bible reading. Just keep at it. It is changing you. God always does something with His Word. Okay. So that's what I'm finishing on. Does anybody have any questions? Yes. Yeah. That's a good question. So I would suggest, you can basically start anywhere. There are obviously parts of the Bible that are a lot harder. I'd suggest starting with the Gospel. That's a good place to start. So either Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Mark's good because he's short. He does have long chapters, but again, you don't have to get stuck into thinking that I have to do a whole chapter. I just read a passage, and when something starts hitting me, I can stop and start asking those questions. Mark or John would be another good one too. But yeah, I'd start with the Gospel. Yeah. Any other questions? Cool. No worries. I know it's been a long day. Thanks for sticking with it. If you want me to, I might put those four questions back up. I'll get to it in a minute. I'll leave the four questions up on the screen if you want to copy them down. Remember, it will help if you've got a notebook with your Bible if you're going to try and use this. Okay? And if you forget, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 to 17 will give you the answer. Let me pray and then we can finish. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise that you are so good. We thank you for your righteousness. We thank you for your holiness and for your justice. We thank you that we have access into your presence through the perfect and finished work of Jesus Christ. And we thank you that through faith in him, we have been reconciled to yourself and we can call you our Father. And our Father, we come to you now and we want to thank you again for your word. Thank you for the things that we've looked at. And Father, we pray that you would impress it upon our hearts the importance of reading your word. Father, would this workshop not simply just be about what happened this afternoon, but rather would it go into the rest of our lives? May it go beyond camp. May we have a love and appreciation for the fact that you speak to us and you speak to us so clearly and powerfully. And our Father, we pray that your Spirit would lead us and guide us as we start to study your word. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.